We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Welcome to Bear in Mind, the official podcast of Cal Athletics. Here's your host, Todd McKim.
Hi, everybody. Todd McKim, and welcome to another edition of Bear in Mind, the official podcast of Cal Athletics. All football show for you today, and justifiably so, as the Bears with a thrilling victory over the Washington Huskies last Saturday and Sunday. It was a two-day event. So a little bit later on, we'll talk to Evan Weaver, who was not only the Pac-12 Defensive Player of the Week, but the National Player of the Week. We'll get his thoughts about the victory and look ahead this week to the game on Saturday against the Mean Green of North Texas. But let's start, first of all, with the head coach, Justin Wilcox, and a lot to talk about on that game Saturday. Let's just start, first of all, with the 2-hour and 38-minute delay. You've been through one of these before when you were a defensive coordinator at Tennessee playing Oregon. So you had a little familiarity, maybe how this thing all works out. Just what was the thought process when they send the players off the field and you really don't have any idea when you're going to come back out?
Yeah. You know, we knew there might be a little weather, didn't anticipate it would be that severe, but as soon as they blew the whistle and told us to go in the locker room, we knew it would be a little while. We had some people, you know, with radar, and there was the administration, they were talking to the meteorologists and all those things. So we knew it'd be a little while, and really just had the players take their shoes off, relax. You don't want them too high or too low in those moments. We had them some peanut butter and jelly sandwiches to eat. And then we, you know, as we got into about an hour or hour and 15 in, they told us they thought it would clear where we could play about 10:30. So we prepped them for that. We had some contingency things going on. We were talking, obviously, with Mr. Nolan, our AD, and Jen Cohen, the AD at Washington, and Coach Pete. He and I had spoke a couple times. But it was unique. I mean, it was just different, and we were trying to do the best we could. And I think everybody handled it really well, especially the players who, as we got closer to, you know, picking the game back up, they did a nice job of refocusing.
Yeah, you got to get the energy back because, you know, guys are jacked up to start a football game, and then maybe after the first couple of plays, both offense and defense, you kind of settle in. Well, both team had one possession, I believe, if I remember. There was like 9:46 left to play in the quarter. Now you got to kind of bring it all back down and then gear it back up. That's not easy to do.
Yeah, I thought they did a really nice job of kind of getting back into the zone, so to speak. And once we restarted the game, it didn't feel any different on the sidelines. I asked a couple of our players. They didn't really, you know, feel any different as we pick the game back up either. I think you're just out there playing football. And so I thought both teams, it seemed that way. And I know speaking for our team, the guys handled it really well. And you know, we didn't play great in the first half by any means, but I thought they were focused, and it wasn't for a lack of focus and effort.
So it's 10-3 at the break with Washington leading the football game. And you guys get the football to start the third quarter. That third quarter was a quarter that went really quick because there was really like only three possessions. Mm-hmm. You had two, they had one. You had a 75 and a 74-yard drive. But your offense started to get in sync due to the fact that the running game was so successful again. What were the adjustments? What did you have to do at the half to kind of get that thing going with a makeshift offensive line? I mean, you had Valentino Del Toso, who was hurt the week before against UC Davis, and he can only play 14 or 15 snaps. And now you've got Henry Bizakis, who hasn't played much. I think he had 50 snaps in this game, which is like matches his career total. And then you had two freshmen at the guard spot. So what did you do to get those guys back in sync?
Well, I think just talked about some of the things we were seeing. Again, credit goes to the players first and foremost, and then the coaches. You know, Coach Greatwood, to prepare that group as well as he has is really impressive. So I think it was just kind of refocusing on what they had been seeing and going out and executing better. And we had some really good effort. And really, that was the whole thing post game when we were watching the tape, is just the effort that the guys played with at every level. We talk about the O-line, the tight ends, the running backs, the receivers, and all those guys just straining the entire game and put together some good drives. We had some nice throws and catches, especially that first drive, the third quarter, and got down there and made a couple plays. Marcel Dancy had some real nice runs in there, and so that created a ton of momentum. That was the key drive in the game, obviously before that 2 minute, but really proud of how hard the guys played. I mean, that was the thing that jumped off. It's just the amount of effort and strain that they were, because that's a really good defense with some really talented players. And so to have kind of some new faces in there with Henry, who hasn't really played, and McKay Mattire just got here, and, you know, a left guard, and Matt Sindrick, who's new, you know, with that group. But, man, just really proud of how hard that group played.
They did open some nice holes. And you mentioned Marcel Dancy getting a lot of reps this last week. Kind of gives you a nice change of pace with Chris Brown. You've got the thumper in Chris Brown, and now you got the lightning quick Marcel Dancy. You got that thunder and lightning that every team would like to have.
Yeah, he did a great job, and Marcel's worked extremely hard to put himself in this position. Again, another guy that walked on here and has earned his way, but he's got some really good one-step quickness, and you saw that on a couple of those runs. It can be hard to tackle, and you know, Chris, again, ran really physical and hard, and he's a tough guy to bring down. I think between Chris, Marcel, and Chase, we had a lot of yards after contact, and really, again, appreciate those guys and getting some tough yards. And Chase did some nice things, whether it was running it or, you know, having a scramble, because those guys were bringing some heat on him, and he got out of some tough situations and either get some positive yards or just to get out of it and get rid of the ball. So it was nice to see him do that.
All right, so having played as well as you did, yet the Huskies come back and they take the lead with 2 minutes to play, a 49-yard field goal. And you and I have both seen a lot of games up there with that crowd. Now, obviously, it was diminished with the lightning storm, but it was still loud. I mean, it was really loud with the aluminum seats. To come back and score on that final possession, I've seen a lot of teams just kind of fold, and I've seen their defense just maul people. But the composure that Chase had, receivers got involved, the line did a nice job blocking. I thought it was really impressive.
Yeah, it was great to see. And it took everybody, as you mentioned. It was loud, and I know the crowd had shrunk because of the delay, but we were still on a silent count. You couldn't use a cadence. It was that loud. And so, you know, whether it was the run game, you know, we had a big first down gain by Chris. He had a big catch out of the backfield. And then Chase with Jordan Duncan, and then the protection of the O-line. And then Keikoa Crawford makes a huge play. So it was really everybody involved, and Chase, as you mentioned, was just level-headed as he could be, and that's kind of who he is. And you know, none of the guys, it wasn't too big for anybody, and they just went out there and competed and made some plays and got us down there for a chance to kick a field goal to win it.
So you get the ball at like the 4 or the 5. There's a minute 14 or so in the game. The Huskies still have 3 timeouts. It really became, in my mind, a chess game, but you're holding, or a card game maybe, you guys are holding the cards, because you feel pretty good that you can kick a field goal. And I was listening to Coach Peterson's press conference on Monday of this week. He said they even thought about, if you're going to run the ball, let you score so they could have some time and maybe some timeouts. Take us through the thought process there of what they're doing, what they're trying to counter, what you're trying to do. Are you trying to score a touchdown, or are you trying to just set up a field goal? What was the mentality?
There's really no right answer, and we discussed it on the sideline. We've talked about these things at length, in the off season and during fall camp, and how these situations come up. And we thought, they may or may not. We didn't initially think that they were going to just let us score, And so we ran the first play. They were playing defense, and what we, after the first play, and we discussed this during our timeout that we had called with 44 seconds to go, and they had three timeouts. And so after we ran the first play, we talked on the sidelines and then decided to just center the ball, because if we were going to score, we wanted to score. And our thinking was, if we're going to score, we want to score running the ball on third down. Okay, so that way you take all their timeouts if you don't score. And so we center the ball on second. We ran the ball on third. If we score a touchdown there, they are going to have a timeout, but they're going to need a touchdown to win. If we don't score running the ball on third down, they're going to have to burn their last timeout. So they're going to have zero timeouts, but they'll only need a field goal. And so that's what ended up happening. And either way, there's an argument for either. And so we were good if we scored it on third down running. What we didn't want is an incomplete pass, and didn't necessarily want to give them, we wanted to take as much time and as many timeouts from them as we possibly could. The guys did a really good job. The kicker and the field goal team did a really nice job of executing in a big moment. And then we kicked the ball off out of the end zone, which was big. And then they had 8 seconds and no timeouts.
As opposed to maybe kicking it in play like a squib kind of thing. And because are they going to run it? Or are they going to down it? That's another one of those things you can talk about.
We've talked about that too. And honestly, we didn't cover well on the first kickoff, if you remember.
That's right.
And so that was on our minds. We did talk about it, a sky kick to make them return it. But we felt like with 8 seconds on their own 25, with no timeouts, we felt better about that. And so we kicked it out of the end zone. We wanted to play defense and not necessarily, chance it with the kickoff return and then, a one play in the field goal. So.
And it was interesting, as I noticed, as your defensive alignment on that final play, who's like the single safety in the middle of the field, the farthest back? Evan Weaver, a linebacker.
Yeah, it's really a form of, it's not like Hail Mary. It's more of a zone concept so we can see the ball. And it's built for those situations. And they come up, once a year, maybe twice a year. But you need to have them. And so credit to the defensive staff. For making sure those guys are prepared, the guys understanding what the situation was. Credit to the offense for executing there at the end of the game. Credit to the special teams for handling that high intensity snap, hold, and kick with that crew. And so, overall, I thought they executed well at the end of the game and found a way to win it.
Great win, two in a row over the Huskies, and the first time back-to-back win over the Huskies since 05 and 06, so during a streak where the Bears won 5 consecutive games in this series. All right, what was practice like? Well, what was Sunday like? That's a day where you're grading, you're evaluating. What was that like for you guys?
Well, the players are off on Sunday. They have treatment, so that didn't really change. They come in late in the day, so they were able to get some sleep before treatment. And then the coaches, we come in and, get some sleep and then start watching the tape, grade it, and meet as a staff and start on our next opponent. And really the only change we made is we pushed our initial coaches meeting back just a little bit to try and get a little more sleep. Because as you know, it was light out when we got home. So it's just one of those things. It happened. But, I think everybody's handled it great. And we caught up a little bit on, Sunday night sleep. But I think guys will be looking forward to Thursday to try and catch up.
There was no way I thought I was going to drive home with my sunglasses on, but that's the case. I rolled in at 7:30 a.m., slept for a couple hours, and the rest of the day is kind of in a fog. All right, let's talk this week. You've got the Mean Green from North Texas. This is a team that's been highly successful the last couple of years. They're 1-1 this season, losing this past weekend to SMU. They're averaging 39 points a game. They have one of the best quarterbacks in all of college football. I don't care what division you're looking at. Mason Fine. They've actually put a Heisman Trophy campaign together for him. More than likely, he's going to surpass 10,000 yards in his career passing. in the game on Saturday. Not the biggest guy in the world, but he's got a big arm, and they do a really nice job of creating opportunities for him to throw the football.
Yeah, he's a really explosive player. As you said, if you just watch him play the position, I mean, dynamic guy, throws the ball exceptionally well. There's a reason he's been so successful. I know they've won 9 games 2 years in a row. He's been a big part of that. And so we are, you know, they have our full attention, and he is a fantastic player, and it's going to be another great challenge for our defense against an offense like that and what they do. And then on the other side, I mean, their defense is multiple. You know, they're in and out of fronts. They'll pressure the quarterback. So it'll take another really good effort on our part.
Yeah, and this is the final home non-conference game. They're going to be throwing about 10,000 T-shirts into the stands. So hopefully you get there early and snag one of those T-shirts. More on that in a little bit. This will be a challenge again for your secondary. I mean, the entire defense, but your secondary, which again is probably the strength of your defense. And those guys are going to be challenged because, I mean, these guys are going to throw it, and they've thrown it successfully against everybody they play.
Yeah, they're dynamic on offense. There's no doubt about it. If you look at their tape from this year and last year, they move the ball on people. They score the ball on people. So it'll take our best effort, and our guys will be excited for it. They've already watched the tape. We've had a good start to the week, but they have a ton of respect for the players and the scheme that we're about to face.
Offensive line, real quickly before we leave you, obviously you've lost two players for the entire season now. Gentle Williams lost before the first game in this last week. Will Craig goes down, gone for the year as well. You had the 5 guys that you played this last week, but they need some breaks here and there. I mean, who are the next guys up in that rotation?
Well, with Val down, you know, Brandon Mello's a guy that we talked about. Patasi is another one. So it's going to be, you know, we're not as deep. I mean, that's just where we're at right now. But those young guys have got opportunities to step up, and we're excited for them, you know. And Coach Greatwood, there's just nobody better in preparing people to play than him. So we'll be ready, and we have confidence in the guys that are in there. And the guys, if something were to happen, that the guys back up, that's why they're here, and that's why we practice, is for these type of moments. So while it's not ideal getting people injured, it's just part of our game, and we're moving full speed ahead.
All right. Well, congratulations on the win over the Huskies, and good luck this week against the Mean Green. Of course, one of the great football players of all time played for the Mean Green, a guy that I used to watch when I was living back in Pittsburgh, Mean Joe Green. And that's one of the reasons why they're called Mean Green. It's to some extent had one of the great commercials of all time too,
Coke
with
the
Pepsi commercial. Pepsi was one of the greats of all time. And always is, probably always will be. So, he's one of their all time greats, and a good football program. It's got some tradition to it. Anyway, appreciate it, Coach. Good luck. And we'll talk to you prior to the game on Saturday.
Thanks. Go Bears.
All right, before we get to our next guest, we do want to remind you, you want to be part of the Bay Area's largest T-shirt toss at halftime of this week's game against North Texas. 10,000 T-shirts are going to be tossed into the seats at Memorial Stadium, so you want to get there and make sure you grab one of those. Single game and group tickets are on sale right now. Visit cowbears.com/tickets or call 1-800-GO-BEARS to lock in your seats today. Well, joining us now is a guy that's pulled in about every award possible this past week for his efforts against the Washington Huskies, at least 6, including Pac-12 Defensive Player of the Week and the National Player of the Week, the Ronnie Lott Impact Award, which also, not only because you won the award, but it also benefits the athletic department because the foundation there gives $1,000 to the general scholarship.
Hey,
so nice. Yeah, a little reward for everybody. Thanks to your efforts. Evan Weaver joining us. Congratulations on all that stuff. Earlier this year, I think it was the preseason, you said, these preseason awards are for moms. If that's the case, mom's going to have a pretty big trophy case.
Yeah. I mean, mom's sure loving it right now, and she's posting them all over the place. But I just try to stay focused and focus on every single game, and reset my mind come Monday, and ready to do it again.
Easier said than done when we got home at the wee hours of the morning. And I mean, it's reset for a couple of days, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's Tuesday right now, and I've probably just started to feel back to myself. So it was a rough few days there.
And wait till you get to my age. Maybe you don't recover for a week or so. talk about 18 tackles. I mean, you've done that one other time. That tied your career high. A couple of tackles behind the line of scrimmage. Forced a big fumble, critical fumble there as well. Just tell us about what it was like playing in that thing.
I mean, it's awesome. Just being able to show up for my guys and be able to play as well as I did for my team. And just having the group in front of me, the D-line and then the DBs, everybody really played as a team. And we really got it done, and we did a great job and ended up coming out with a win.
Back-to-back wins over the Huskies. I know you love that in your junior and senior seasons, being from Spokane, Gonzaga Prep. But let's go back to that long delay. I mean, I think I saw a quote that you said that, you know, you get stuff like that in the Northwest, but certainly in the Southeast and the Midwest, we've seen that happen before. But Seattle doesn't happen all that often. Take us through from the time that they tell you that there's going to be a delay because of weather, and you sit in that locker room for about 2 hours and 30 minutes.
Yeah, at first didn't even really know what was going on because the defense was running back out on the field, and all of a sudden we just see the Huskies just running into the tunnel, and we're like, wait, are they on defense? We're super confused. And then our coaches told us, so we all jogged in the locker room and kind of stayed loose, stayed ready for about 20 to 30, 40 minutes, and then we're like, okay, well, I walked outside. Lightning's going off everywhere about every 3 seconds. I was kind of entertaining, to be honest. And then I just came back in, took my pads off, took my cleats off, and just started to kind of like hang out with guys, just talk, and still staying focused in on the game, but really just kind of a relaxed environment, and not really wasting energy where it isn't needed.
Yeah, at some point in time, I think they told you that it's not going to be a 15 or 20 minute deal because they have to wait at least a half an hour after the last lightning strike. So it gives you a chance to kind of wind down, yet at the same time, you have to stay focused.
Yeah. I mean, just, that was critical, is just staying focused and being able to know that it's going to consistently get reset and not knowing when we're going to go out there and play. So when you know when you're going to go out there and play, we finally got the call. I think it was about 10:30, 10:35. And we came out ready to go.
Nobody brought any cards along. I'm sure that doesn't happen all the time. Guys get in there playing gin or whatever. Debbie Schramm, who's part of the administration's making, you know, peanut butter and jelly sandwiches in the hallway there. So, I mean, something that very few people ever go through. Fortunately, I guess in some respects, Justin Wilcox and Steve Greatwood had been through that in the past when Justin was a defensive coordinator at Tennessee and Steve was on the Oregon staff. They were playing each other, but that was a daytime game. I mean, it's a little different than at night, and then you get home really late. As you went into that game, there was a lot of focus on you after what had gone on the previous week. Did you feel like you were a marked man at all?
I'd rather have the focus be on me and take all the pressure away from my teammates. Let them play loose, and I know I can handle it, and just being able to go out there and do what we did, like I said, just coming out there with a win, and I'm fine. I'm fine with all the hate because I feed off of it, so it's really nice.
Second half, the offense got it going and gave you guys a breather. There were a couple of really long drives there. Oh, yeah. We're getting in the background. Hey, Mike Seffel, the starting center, now that we're praising the offense, is getting a little bit of that in here. But a couple of long drives, it gives you a chance to re-energize, focus as well. Tell us what it's like when you're watching Chris Brown during these last two games. I mean, running through guys, and then Marcel Dancy comes in and he's dancing around guys. You see it in practice all the time.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I'm not sure if we see it in practice, but they sure are gamers. We kind of joke about it a lot on defense, like where was this in practice? But, you know, Chris Brown has came out and proved us wrong, and he told us he was going to run strong and run tough, and that's what he's been doing these first two games. And Marcel was a great change of pace guy last game. Really took it to him. People were ducking their heads, and he was making them miss. I mean, they both had a great 1-2 punch going in the whole game, and it was a great job, and it was awesome to see, and see our O-line giving them a great push.
All right, North Texas. This is the one nice thing about non-conference games, I think, is you get to face teams from different parts of the country. Obviously, last couple of years it's been North Carolina. This week it's North Texas. Do you have any idea who maybe their most famous football player is of all time?
No.
I'll give you a couple of hints. Played for the Steel Curtain, okay, in the 70s, and had a great commercial, a soft drink commercial, where he tossed his jersey to a little kid and won 4 Super Bowls for that team. And his nickname, I don't know that he had it at the time. He may have. His nickname also coincides with the name of the North Texas team. Something, well, I can't give it away because it would give away his name. Any idea?
I mean, they're what, like, they're like the Mean Green or something
there
like
you got that?
That.
So now kind of just extend that a little bit.
I have no clue.
Mean Joe Green of the Pittsburgh Steelers, a Hall of Famer, one of the best defensive tackles of all time. They got a pretty good tradition, and they've had good success the last couple of years, a couple of 9-win seasons. When you watch them on tape, what do you see?
Well, they have a super athletic quarterback, makes a lot of great throws. They have two really tough running backs. They run really hard, and they're a pretty physical team, pretty athletic, and it'll be interesting to see our matchup on the defense side of the ball.
This is a big game this week for the 10 guys from Texas, I would imagine. Any of those guys mentioned how important it is for them to show well against some of their former teammates?
I mean, most of them are just focused like any other game, just being able to go out there and win, because that's the ultimate goal with us is winning every game. And if we can go out there and play our type of ball, we should be able to come out with a win. But they are a good team, and it'll be interesting to see.
All right, off season, I know you spent a lot of time. You lost some weight, first of all. How much did you lose, and why did you lose it?
I lost about 15 to 17 pounds or so. Just trying to show up my quickness and maybe actually start looking like a linebacker, because I do have a very traditional linebacker number at 89. So you know, it might get confused with the tight end. So they tell me, but I don't really see that because I'm a little bit more physical than those guys.
Okay. Well, based on how you've been playing, I can see where that's the case. Hey, tell us about, you know, what you're doing when you're not concentrating on football. I mean, the outdoors guy, I assume, and fish and hunting up there in Eastern Washington.
Yeah. I mean, I pretty much grew up on all that. When I went back home, my family, grandparents have a lake cabin at Priest Lake in Idaho, and went there, went tubing, went dock fishing, and just kind of enjoyed my time off in July, and then came back here and came ready to roll.
Yeah. I mean, it's nice to get to the outdoors. You kind of get away from everything, right? I mean, Here you are in Berkeley where there's so much going on. I'm sure it was nice just to get a couple of days or weeks away where you just didn't have anybody around you.
Yeah, I mean, it's awesome to go out during the night and just see stars, you know? Yeah. And just with all these lights in big cities, it's hard to see everything. But it's really different experience when you're out in the middle of nowhere.
Tell us about the adjustment you made coming here with all, you know, the complete difference in culture, certainly as far as the surroundings are concerned.
Yeah, I mean, it was definitely a culture shock. I'd be lying.
What was your first notice that it was going to be different?
Oh, man. Well, this was kind of like in the middle of my freshman year was when a speaker came to campus and we had that huge riot. And it was all over the news and everything, so that was really interesting. me and General Williams were actually standing next to each other walking through campus because we didn't know what was going on. But you know that we ended up turning around and going the other way before something bad happened. But that was very interesting.
Do you keep in contact with Jordan Konacek at all?
I do. Yeah, I'm actually texted him a few times over camp and congratulated him, obviously, on making the 53-man roster. So it's huge for him.
Well, hopefully, you'll be on one of those rosters next year. But before that, you got a big game this week against North Texas, and a lot of Pac-12 games that'll be very fun to watch. Congratulations on all the accolades so far. Hopefully, your mom will get a few more things in her trophy room as well. And stay healthy. That's the big thing.
Yeah, thank you. Go Bears.
All right. Evan Weaver, outstanding senior linebacker, National Defensive Player of the Week for his 18-tackle performance against the Washington Huskies. A reminder, fans of Taco Bell wants to give you $25 just for being a Cal fan. You got Evan popped his ears up on that one. Text Taco Bell to 90561 for your chance to win. Taco Bell reminding all Bears to live Moss. Well, that wraps it up for this week's Inside Bear Insider with Evan Weaver and Justin Wilcox. A reminder, we'll be on the air noon for the early start at 1:15 against North Texas. I'm Todd McKim. Thanks for joining us once again. As always, go Bears.
This has been Bear in Mind, the official podcast of Cal Athletics, with your host, Todd McKim. The preceding has been a Learfield IMG College presentation.